to this episode of the Movie Dump Podcast. I'm Ben.
I am Nick.
And I know we've been gone for a while. I've been stuck in a
time warp.
No. I have just started watching Smallville a few weeks ago.
Fucking fell off the face of the planet.
I fell off. I'm all the way up to season 9, so hopefully I'll be done tomorrow. So I could get back on track. But we did actually record another podcast earlier. It was the, the Total Recall.
Yep.
And I was done editing it. I was about to put it up, and the hard drive crashed. So we lost that one.
Yeah, so, you know, it's as much that the actual podcast got recalled into a temporal vortex of perpetual motion.
So if
sounds good.
Yeah, it does. So if I'm able to...
it's a great excuse. Why are you late for work today, Nick? I'm stuck in a perpetual time bit. Fuck, what was it?
So if I'm able to get the hard drive up and running again, I'll post it up there. So
It wasn't that good anyway.
No, it wasn't. The movie's all right. Scott is not with us again. He hasn't been here for a long time, besides the Total Recall
episode. Yeah, I know, right?
So Scott's back, but not today. But this week we watched Chronicle. Which I haven't seen it. Nick, you've seen it.
Yeah,
you saw it in theaters.
Very interesting because you're watching Superman and you're like, yeah, Superman, it's so great. Smallville's so good. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, hey, let's watch a real origin story.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, we're going to watch more Smallville. I'm like, no, we're going to watch Chronicle.
Yeah, come on. We just got to Doomsday. Yeah, it's getting fucking good.
That's really not how it went down at all.
No, it didn't. It was more like, hey, here's a whole bunch of movies. Which one's the shortest?
Yeah, that's pretty. that's how I narrowed down the picks. I'm like, fuck, yeah. I don't really want to be here doing the podcast for 5 hours.
Because we were thinking about watching...
shortest one.
Thinking about watching a Skyfall or Argo.
Argo, yeah.
Since it just won the best picture at the Oscars. But those were too long.
Giving the movie dump review there.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like, I don't know. It's a thing with like long movies. Like, I love movies, but it's like when you hear a movie comes out and the first thing you hear is like, oh, it's 3 hours and 45 minutes. You're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Well, shit. that's like more than an afternoon. I mean, fuck.
It's like, I got drinking to do. Yeah, I can't be sitting here watching a movie and then review it right afterwards.
You know, I got to cook dinner. Maybe go to a Cinebistro or something. Yeah, that's so
shit.
Expensive. Like, finding excuses not to dedicate 4 hours of time to a movie.
Yeah, and what happens after we done
the
podcast, we go and look at bikes.
Yeah, right.
Just go.
Yeah. We waste the fucking 4 hours somehow, but it's not related to a movie.
Damn it, we actually do it, you know.
It's like there has to be a 4 hour block where I'm insured I'm going to get laid for taking a girl to this movie. And it, you know, nope. Few and far between, very much.
So, so this film was directed by Josh Trank. Trank?
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 Trunk?
Trunk?
Josh something?
Yeah.
Trank. Yeah, Josh Trank.
Yeah, it just doesn't sound right. It does not sound right.
It
sounds like a really fucked up made up name.
Yeah, it sounds like a name that you came up with when you've had like 6 or 7 Heinekens.
You're like, I'm Josh Trank.
My movie name's going to be Josh Trank. That's going to be my director role. Josh Trank, yeah.
This is his directing debut, and he also was one of the writers on this. It's a very interesting tale of three high school students who, two of them are cousins. One of them is, I guess, he's like the popular kid.
Yeah.
He's, has,
I guess he's like the average kid. I don't know. I don't think he's like a football player or anything, but that's kind of like sort of the...
Well, they showed like all of his accolades. There was a scene where they were at his house and showed all of his accolades. He has like all these awards and
trophies,
everything, and he was going for student council president and all that. He wanted to be a politician.
But, oh, wait, no, you're talking about the black guy.
Steve, yeah.
Steve, yeah. Yes. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve Madden.
Steve Madden and Andrew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the three main characters.
Andrew and Matt were the cousins.
Andrew and Matt were
Steve
the cousins.
Steve was the black kid.
Steve was. Wow. You got to call it out like that.
It's easy. I mean, black cousin? What is this? Fucking cousins? Lost World, Jurassic Park? Yeah. Jeff Goldblum should not have had a black child.
Hey.
I mean, it's okay.
He could have.
Yeah, absolutely. But
yeah, why not?
Come on.
But, these three high school students are at a party and they stumble upon this hole in the ground, which
great stories there. Yeah. Hey, I found a hole in the ground.
Actually, why did I just read the fucking synopsis? I'm trying to go off of it, but while attending a party, three high school friends gain superpowers after making an incredible discovery underground. Soon, though, they find their lives spinning out of control and their bond tested as they embrace their darker sides. So there you go.
Seems legit.
Yeah. It's a very interesting story and well crafted.
It's very, I think this is one of those really, it almost kind of, I don't think too many people know this film. I think it was kind of under the radar.
Yeah.
For the most part. This is the type of movie I really like to watch. One that, a couple people have seen it or they saw the trailers and they're like, meh, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to mess with that.
Right.
I don't think anything of it. But you see it and you're like, fuck, this is way better than I thought it would
be. It's definitely flushed out way better.
I equate it kind of almost to like the World War Z type thing where you're like, oh, it's a book about zombies, but you're reading and you're like, fuck, this is way more than just that.
Yeah.
This is not really it's like World War Z. It's a book about zombies, and there's really not one fucking zombie in the book at all.
Yeah, it's just about...
Right. This is like a comic book movie that is not a comic book movie, but kind of a comic book movie.
It is.
It's like an origin
story. Yeah, it definitely is an origin story.
But it's super powers. It's more geared towards like the sci-fi side of things, I guess.
Yeah.
But
The whole thing is presented with as a found footage type of story arc where...
Blair Witchy.
Yeah, very not as Blair Witchy. More, I think more of like Cloverfield, but
yeah,
done a little. I'm a huge J.J. Abrams fan, but I think this tackled it a lot better than Cloverfield.
Well, what I really liked about it, and I think they, give them mad props. Like they incorporated the camera into the movie.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, it's almost like the cameras themselves were characters, which then, again, like, cerebral here. Like, those cameras became us observing all of this stuff.
Well, the beginning of the movie, they made it very interesting of why the camera was there. The whole purpose of the camera is because the character of Andrew has a father who's abusive. He's just, his kid's life sucked.
Right.
His mother is dying of some sort of illness. It was never really, said what the illness was, but you get the point. She's dying.
Yeah.
Father is an alcoholic who's living off of
insurance money from an injury.
Yeah. He was a firefighter and he got injured on the job and he's living off the insurance.
So he had his own, like, fall from grace type thing.
Yeah. And no one, he was picked on at school, everything. So he buys this camera to just kind of... have someone to talk to.
Yeah,
almost.
It's his therapy. Almost.
It's his therapy.
It's his security blanket.
Yeah,
it's like if I'm behind the camera, I don't have to be living in this world. I can be behind the scenes.
Yeah, I can just view the world and people
filter.
Can see what's going on.
Right.
Yeah. So that goes throughout the whole entire movie. And what's really interesting with the cinematography with this is the use of mirrors. And getting around the multiple takes.
Yeah, a lot of awesome decisions from, the DP, like, on how to shoot this stuff. Like, absolutely really good moments,
Yeah.
Like you said, use of mirrors, all the different security cameras out there,
Yeah, the first one that you pointed out was they're at a diner, and they're, the three are at a diner talking about their powers and everything, and there's a mirror right behind, is Matt's character.
Yeah.
And you see Steve sitting off to the side, and then point of view is Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
And you see Andrew in the mirror as well, holding the camera. But all three of them were framed up so you can see every single one of them in this shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that way they can get away with seeing everyone's reaction, seeing everyone in this one take, and not have to deal with multiple different angles because
right.
of the found footage
right.
Vibe that
they're which also going. Means you got it. You, when they roll action, you better not fuck up.
A lot of the dialogue and the interactions felt very organic, almost like they had the bullet points, they had the script, but they were allowed to deviate from
right.
the script
yeah,
a little
bit. They just wanted like a natural take.
Yeah, you know? Because I mean, if you're trying to do these long takes or dialogue scenes between three different characters, and you have all these characters sharing the screen time at the same exact time, you can't, you know, have boom, 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 boom.
Right.
It's going to be fucking hard.
Right.
You know, let them, you know, ad lib a little bit to try to bring in that rawness up to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like we said, the use of multiple cameras, like security cameras, cell phone cameras, well, they're at a party. Matt stumbles upon one, I guess it was an ex-girlfriend or becomes a girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
who has a blog, or I guess a vlog, because she's running around with a camera.
Vlogs.
She's running around with a camera, videotaping everything. She's pretty much essentially doing the same exact thing as Andrew's doing.
Right.
She's recording her life. So that was an interesting way of whenever, later on in the movie, when Andrew isn't around and Matt has to go and stop Andrew, you know, we'll get to that part, but because Andrew goes off the deep end and Matt has to stop him because he's tearing up the city and you know, killing people,
mm-hmm.
Matt's girlfriend goes along with him and she has her camera. So that way we're able to see that part
right.
of what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's very well done, very well crafted.
I like to think, you know, it so there's like 400 different cameras maybe throughout this, like especially near the end.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, at the end when shit goes down and Matt and Andrew come out of the superhero closet and everyone's seeing their powers and their abilities, and you know, they're having this big, huge, like Titan-esque fight going on in downtown Seattle. Everyone is out there with their cell phones. You know, recording that they have iPads. You have the dashboard cameras from police officers, security cameras from all these different buildings. So you're able to do this awesome action sequence and cut from all of these different cameras. It's very well thought out.
It is really well thought out. I like to think that this really happened in real life.
There was moments of it where I was feeling that, where it's like, oh yeah, this is a movie we're watching.
I like to think after, you know, the climax of the thing, all these cameras fell to earth, and then some movie executive like gathered them all up and hired some editor out in LA, and he's like, hey, I want you to cut together this movie, and he's like, great, fantastic. Plops down 700 cameras in front of him.
Here's all there the different
you go.
Footage. All the different formats.
Like,
make it work.
Motherfucker. Son of a bitch. I
asshole.
I don't have this many codecs in my camera. What the fuck?
It's like
I'm going to need an assistant editor to review this footage.
It's like they use the street cleaning team from New York
yeah.
on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The people that come in there and clean that whole fucking Times Square area up in like 3 hours.
Found another camera. Throw it in the pile.
Yeah. The story structure for all of this is very well done too. Pretty much everything in this is really solid for this type of movie that you know, it's a low budget film. It's Baby's first movie.
Yeah.
It was very well done.
Well, something I think a lot of people really just enjoy, and especially like the superhero type genre, you know, or when people get powers, is they just like to see what they're going to do with those powers. And
yeah.
They, you know, the first 5 minutes of this movie, they cut through all the bullshit. You learn everything you need to know about these characters within those 5 minutes with these quick cuts of and quick bits of knowledge just getting thrown at you left and right for you to collect up. And then they dive into them. Oh, they got their powers. Now let's develop them, play around. And it's very much, you know, it's kind of like what you would do with your friends. You know, if you had superpowers, you'd go out, you'd get fucking stoned, and you'd be like, I'm going to throw something at your crotch. Try and stop it.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. And you would, and especially nowadays, you would definitely document it, whether it's
absolutely.
Whether it's with your cell phone or it's an actual camera like these people had.
Yep.
The other thing, like you said, within the first 5 minutes, we learned everything that we needed to about Andrew's backstory.
Yeah.
Who he is, his home life, how he's treated at school, and how he's a loner. No one really cares about him. You know, he's
brooding Columbine-esque kid.
Very much so. These superpowers were his guns.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. That's a good analogy.
It's like, it doesn't matter. Like, that's exactly what it is. And, but just in those first 5 minutes, we went from him setting up the camera and right away, the first thing that we see is him setting up the camera and a shot on the door to his bedroom. And on the bedroom door is a mirror. So we see him. So we see his reflection. And on the other side of the door is his dad just pounding on it, trying to get in and, you know, just beat the shit out of him because that's what dads do. And just in that, like that small scene, and, you know, Andrew saying, I have a camera, I'm documenting everything you do. So, you know, people will see this.
Right.
It's
enough to keep them at bay for now.
It's enough to keep them at bay. And you see the father's character just like boiling this over the whole entire time. He's like, what the fuck, you're up to something. Yeah, you're up to something. You know. You're up to something because this is the only time, this is the first time that Andrew's had the upper hand on his father. And he does not like
that. Right. Needless to say, this is a family that needs a lot of therapy.
Yes. Yeah, it's
mom's dying, dad's beating the shit out of you.
Yeah, mom's dying, dad's blaming on the kid, and all this all this shit's going.
Not a healthy environment.
Yeah, so he's living in a very bad household environment. But you jump from that to him in the car with his cousin.
Yep.
Then from that to, and then you see the relationship between them, and then from that to them at school in the hallways.
Right.
You totally destroy the basic story structure and scene structure there of saying like, okay, well, let's introduce this character. Exterior shot, you know, them driving or whatever. Exterior shot of the school.
Sure.
You know, setting up all of these locations and bringing it in. And
it's not hard to follow.
No, it's really very easy to follow. And it looks like you're sitting there. It feels like you're sitting there watching an actual found tape. Mm-hmm. Like, you just popped in a tape and there you are. You're watching this footage.
Yep.
And that, like, even though it goes against everything that you're taught and setting up, a script, it's so well done with it, and you still get everything across. Like, it's almost like what we learned in college is, like, just take out all the shit you don't need.
Yeah, this is
all the beats that you don't need. You know, get to it.
I kind of remember back to like a creative writing class where we had to like write poetry and the teacher kind of ingrilled in us, like, you need to cut out every single word that you just don't need. Like, every word has to have meaning. And you just need to trim so much fat. And everything needs to be powerful, and every word has to have a meaning. That's very much like this movie.
Yeah.
Every scene, really, I mean, there wasn't like a scene in there that just wasn't necessarily needed.
Yeah, there was no fat on this steak.
Right.
It was just pure
protein.
Pure grade A meat.
it's a really good way of doing the story. And I wouldn't necessarily say it's like a new way of doing storytelling.
No, it's not a new way of doing the story.
It's absolutely an underutilized way of doing a story. And for this, it worked perfectly. Yeah. It really worked great. But it's like half the time, I'm like, why the fuck they call this Chronicle? You know?
And then at
the end, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, the whole time I'm like, why is this called Chronicle?
He's chronicling right his life.
You're like, it's a chronicle of their adventure of getting the powers and everything.
Yeah.
It makes sense towards, especially at the end. I mean, now when you hear this, it's like, oh, duh.
Stupid. God, you guys are dumb.
when Andrew's at school, when he first gets to school and he's filming around, and you see that, the way that people look at him, the bullies that he has there. Then you also see on the wall all of the Vote for Steve for President posters.
Right.
So you see, boom.
You know right away, one of the kids a popular one, one's like the bane of this school. You know?
exactly. One's the...
And one's just the middle ground. He's just that. He's the average kid.
Yeah, he's just there.
Yeah, they all come from their own story archetypes.
Yeah, everyone has their own story arc. And out of all of them, Matt is probably the one that has the even playing story. Like, it's just average life. Nothing bad, nothing good.
Amazing growth. It's like, you know.
And it shows when they're developing their powers. Like, right. Andrew and Steve develop their powers the fastest. And before they discover this this device or whatever that's underground,
mm-hmm.
they never talked. I mean, they were in homeroom, and Steve mentions that he's like, I remember you and all that, but they were never friends until then,
right?
And Steve, coming from a good upbringing, all these right. accolades and everything, but he still has issues because his parents aren't getting along, and he kind of sees that. He kind of uses that as a way of bonding with Andrew along with the superpowers. But those two, start developing their powers more and more and more.
It's a great analogy to the whole Batman and Joker type thing, if you think about it, where it's like a lot of people argue that their two storylines are interwoven together, and it's not really. It's kind of true, but not necessarily. Their stories are parallel to one another. They're both moving on their own tracks.
Yeah,
and they just have to interact, while they're both developing in a certain way. Yeah. This is very similar to this. So
it's just like anything. You could take two people identical, two twins.
Mm-hmm.
You take twins. You separate them. You give one a shitty life. You give one a good life.
And see what happens.
And
it's a great play on how society can shape what you're going to be and what you're going to do.
Yeah, because it would have been. I think it would have been less of a story if Andrew just came from a regular life.
I agree.
If Matt was the one that went all fucking psycho,
mm-hmm.
it would be different.
Right.
Or if Steve's the one that went all psycho, it would be different. Right. Although it would have been kind of interesting if Steve went all psycho because maybe something happened. And he's like, I have to keep this.
Sure.
Because he wanted to be a politician and all this stuff. He wants to be the great,
Sure. Well, it's great. That would have been an interesting way of doing it.
But the way
that
they went was perfect.
Well, yeah, I think that was way better. I like the idea of Andrew. He got a taste of the good life, and he's like, shit, all right, I'm feeling pretty rock star, and I'm going to make out with this chick. Pukes on her. She's completely repulsed. And he's like, shit, even though I have these powers, I'm still a failure.
I think it was
I'm going to fuck shit up now.
Well, you start seeing the darker side of Andrew when they're all discovering their powers and working.
Oh, yeah, he does certain
They're driving down the road, and there's a car. And it's a scene that you saw in the trailer. There's a truck behind them that's honking at them, just being an asshole. And Andrew just pushes them off the side of the road down the cliff into a river. And that's when Matt
half one of those, hey, this is going to be cool, but kind of like, bitch, I'm tired of fucking.
He's fucking, he's just messing around going like, I'm going to get you out of the way.
My entire life. Yeah. I'm fucking not putting up with this shit anymore. It's like he snapped
off. It's the undertones of the what was to come. The snap that was going to happen.
Yeah.
It was the calm before the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And then Matt, sets guidelines for them because, we have these new abilities. We need to use them we have to use them in a way where we're not going to harm people. We can't use them towards any living creatures.
Right.
And, of course, Andrew's like, well, fuck that.
I'm going to pull legs off of spiders and shit.
Oh, man. That scene right there was so brilliant because there's a scene after all the shit has hit the fan and Andrew has finally hit the point of no return. Let's back up before we start talking about that. Andrew's hanging out with Steve. Steve's popular. All this stuff is hunky dory, and they're making all these plans of flying around the world,
go see Tibet,
do all this stuff together because they have all these abilities. They could fly. They have telekinesis. All this stuff,
mm-hmm.
Andrew enters the talent show at school and uses his abilities. Mashing those, magic tricks or whatever. So everyone's like,
this is amazing. This is the best talent show I've ever been to in 4 years of high school.
You really don't have a lot to base it off of.
These are kids that never watched America's Got Talent.
He goes to the high school party, and now he's considered the life of the party.
He's the cool
kid. He's the cool kid. He's playing beer pong, and since he has his telekinesis powers, he never loses. He's
right.
throwing two balls at the same time, three balls at the same time, under his hand, you know, all this shit. And then he finally gets this girl, you know, he's shit-faced drunk. They go upstairs, and Steve takes the camera upstairs to follow him. You're like, oh, let's see what's going on. And then you see the girl running out with puke all over her. And Steve goes in there.
He's kind of the laughing, like, oh man, that's messed up.
Yeah, because he's looking at it like, oh shit.
Probably we'd do the exact same thing if one of us was in that scenario. I puked on this chick.
Yeah, but when
he takes it, and when you're that brooding young, like, you just hear the laughing, and you're like, oh, you're making fun of me.
Yeah,
like, stop laughing at me.
Because you're used to people, you know, putting you down. Yeah. You're not used to, like, the friendship, or, you know,
right,
the banter,
the banter, yeah.
So so Andrew just fucking goes berserk and you know, blows up on Steve. And then later on, Andrew's flying around in a thunderstorm, and Steve goes up there to try to, like, we're like, what
yeah,
the fuck,
he's
are
already
doing
in this, like, chaotic, like, fucking just, oh, my whole world's crashing in mode type thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in a thunderstorm. Woo.
Well, you know, it was he went up to the thunderstorm after he attacks his dad in the basement.
Yeah.
Because his dad finds the tape and sees what's
that's
going
right.
on. And he was like, I could fucking kill you.
Yeah. And he kind of jacks his dad up.
Yeah. He jacks
bit,
his dad up a little bit. And then he leaves. And that's where he goes up to the thunderstorm, and Steve goes up to trying to, like, calm him down, bring him off of the proverbial edge, pretty much.
Right.
And I like to think that Andrew accidentally killed Steve. There was like a big lightning, because it looked like he was the one that was controlling the weather around him.
Like, he's just so in that crazy, like, panic attack phase, you know, where just, like, you know, you're affecting shit outside of you that you don't even realize. It's kind of like, you know. I'm trying to think of another.
It's that point in a, like, a hostage negotiation where you have the person that's holding the hostages right at a moment of, like, letting them go, but one thing happens and everything that you worked at,
your
just
powers
unravels.
Are all out of control.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to think of, like, another film like that. And the closest thing I can kind of come up with is, I'm thinking, like, Terminator 2, where Robert Patrick is like, he's losing control of all these. He's dying, and he's losing control of all those bodies that he was controlling with.
Yeah,
and he's like just morphing in between.
Yeah,
shit as he's melting away and stuff. You know.
Yeah.
It's the closest thing I can kind of.
Yeah. I mean, he's having this.
He's having this all fuck.
He's having this all fuck. He's having this mental breakdown.
Right.
He's going further down the rabbit hole than he's ever gone before. It's at that point of.
And
no return.
Right. I really like that part of, you know, up in, you know, where Steve gets hit with lightning or whatever the fuck happened. I really like that.
Explodes.
Yeah, it just fucking blows up. I really like that ambiguous kind of, you know, storytelling that they did, where you don't really know. Was it Andrew that really fucked this up and caused this death, or was it just happened?
Yeah, or did it just happen because they were up there? I mean, Matt later on at the funeral says there was no lightning strikes.
No recorded lightning strikes.
There was no recorded lightning strikes. What happened? What did you do?
Yeah.
And just right there, because Matt's his relative, Matt's his cousin.
Yeah.
And for him to say, what did you do? You did this.
Yeah.
You know, putting the
blame
on him.
So that's even more like, fuck.
Andrew's finally shut that door, and he's like, he has made the leap from Anakin to Darth Vader.
Right. Yeah, pretty much.
He has made that leap. He's, you know, it's the point of no return.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he has nothing to live for. His so-called best friend, he accidentally murdered, or maybe intentionally murdered.
Mm-hmm.
His cousin, who's his other best friend, has turned his back on him. Because he's like, what did you do? You did this. This isn't a joke. This isn't a game.
Yeah.
And of course, Andrew's still recording everything. He's still, you know, documenting everything, which pisses Matt off. He's like, what the fuck are you still doing this?
Yeah, and he, like, yanks the camera away from him. And it's like, no. And what's really kind of also cool about that is, like, I don't know. I've been in scenarios where I was teaching kids, and, like, when the kid really fucks up, and you're trying to tell them, like, look, you can't do that shit, you know, and they're kind of just not really, they're trying to shut you out and not listen to you, and
yeah,
they're just kind of like staring off in the distance. If you watch that scene, he's fucking Andrew's doing the exact same thing.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
His buddy's trying to tell him, like, look, dude, you fucked up, and he's just kind of like, kind of, you know, like, he knows he fucked up, but he's like, you know, and he regrets it, but he just doesn't want to hear it or deal with it, so he's just kind of looking away and, you know, kind of like that eye contact type thing, like, I'm the apex predator, but I can't look at you in the eye.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. He starts getting that.
I'm feeling threatened by you.
Yeah, he starts getting that complex of, well, this is just the normal, the next step in evolution.
Right.
He's the next step in evolution.
He's Magneto.
Yeah, pretty much. He's gotten to that point where it's like, well, no one understands me. Yeah. I have all these powers. I'm the next step. I'm the apex predator.
Right. I've got to set this example.
Yeah. And that's where
I can do whatever I want.
That's where we see the scene where he... he's laying on his floor and he's watching this spider walk across the floor. It's a very interesting scene.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's no music.
Right,
no
about how you don't feel bad about squishing a fly.
Yeah, and he, like, just picks up this spider with his telekinesis, brings it right in front of him, and just breaks all of his legs, tears the spider apart.
Yeah.
And the symbolism behind that is just, is so fucking awesome, because that's... What he's doing to that insect is exactly how he feels.
No.
He has these powers. He's greater than everyone, and everyone's an insect in comparison to
him. I think, and there's, you know, there's something I read about this, and I don't know if they filmed it or it was in the original script and they cut it, or they removed it so it could be PG-13 or something like that. But apparently, I guess, at the, you know, the scene near the end where his dad's in the hospital kind of crying over him and doing the whole, I want you to sit up and apologize to me right now.
Yeah.
And still being a douchebag dad, kind of.
Well,
know?
Because he doesn't want to take responsibility.
Right.
And that is apparent when it's passed down to Andrew.
Yeah.
Andrew doesn't want to take responsibility. Yeah. He's putting his blame on
like father, like son.
Exactly.
And I guess apparently in that scene, you know, in the movie, he blows out the wall of the hospital and fucking, like, does whatever. You don't see it. It's, like, all kind of smoky and... There's a bomb that went off.
Yeah, they think a bomb went off because that whole side of the building just...
Right. Sure, propane tanks, whatever, could have happened.
Which, that was a fucking amazing shot.
It was awesome.
It cuts to a security camera and you just see the father, like, right above him, you know, poking his finger at him, all this shit, and then just, bam, the wall goes out.
I think, you know, in the original script, or even a film that I don't know, but there was a scene where what he did to the spider, he did to his dad in that room, where he just pulled his limbs off.
That would have been...
blew him up, basically. And, like, that would have made it pretty poignant, but also incredibly graphic. So
yeah.
They're probably like, whoa. Rating board, hello.
Yeah. It's like...
You can't blow up a guy, you know?
It's like, you were doing really good, just, you know... Pushing people away.
Yeah. What?
Not pulling them limb from limb.
One interesting thing, I guess, also about that scene, not really a bad thing or a gripe or anything, but just kind of unusual, is that they had a camera set up for him, you know?
Yeah.
Filming him on his bed, which, I don't know, I guess it's not really unusual. I mean...
Well, that whole scene, I think that they could have probably done...
They could have done it from security camera.
They could have done it from the security camera. I know you wouldn't be able to hear what was being said, but I think that might have also made it... That also would have made it interesting. You see the father coming in there.
Yeah, because you can all that talk, you know, all the emotions of it, you can see, you know, and they could have easily conveyed the same messages... I mean, I guess the only part is, how do you segue the whole, like, hey, your mom died during this as well, too. So.
Exactly. I mean, someone would have had to have set the camera up. I don't know who would have set it up.
And, I mean, I can halfway explain, because it's like, oh, this kid just fucked up everything. We need to keep security cameras on him. So we're just going to set up a security camera at the end of his bed and just fucking hit record and walk away.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I can kind of understand.
If that's the only gripe that we have, I mean, I could look past that.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a hard movie to gripe about. I mean, they did everything really, really well, I think, for the most part. So it's...
And the very interesting part in that scene with that camera, which you wouldn't have had if that camera wasn't there, was you think he's unconscious. You think he's out.
Right.
And then,
was he? Well,
and then
maybe,
it goes to
maybe
and then it goes to the shot of the security camera, and you see
slowly moving forward.
Yeah, you see the camera that's at the foot of the bed.
So you know he's getting pissed
forward.
Off.
Yeah.
So it is good.
It's like, here, let me zoom in.
Right.
Before I attack you.
I'm just pissed off.
Dear father.
Leave me alone. Yeah, right. Let's get this on camera.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's when Andrew really just goes berserk. And, he starts attacking me. He was attacking the bully at school. He's, like, pulled his teeth out with telekinesis.
Awesome fucking scene.
And then he's just sitting there talking to the camera, like, explaining how he did it. Like, yeah. Like, this one, I have the root.
Very just kind of nonchalantly.
It's
like,
very...
He's chronicling his meanness almost, yeah. Or I don't even know how to explain it. I never pulled somebody's fucking teeth out of their head. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, what's the word?
I don't know. It's kind of
not narcissistic.
Yeah. It's kind of, I don't know. Macabre. I don't know.
So it's very sociopathic.
Yeah. It's very sociopathic. It's something a Batman villain would do. You know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's that point of where any type of emotion, or any type of regard for human life has gone out the window.
It's and you can kind of see he's almost like excited that he did these things.
Yeah,
and
it's now him, because it's like a weight has been lifted off his shoulders, and now Andrew can
do back to the world
what the world did to him.
Right. Yeah.
So,
and then proceeds to fuck up Seattle.
Oh, man, he fucks it up. Good. Yeah. And at this point, you know, this is when, you know, everyone sees his powers. He's, you know, he goes flying out the,
hospital. This is, I don't give a fuck anymore.
This is the last stand. This is the fucking, the end of.
It's very Frankenstein monster-esque almost. Like, yeah. he's fucked up. There was an explosion. He's burnt up. You know?
Yeah.
So
this is like the end of the Wild Bunch, where you're just fucking going out in place of glory.
Yep.
Everything's happening.
Yep.
And then Matt has to stop him. So there's this big huge fucking fight that goes on between them. And the end of the fight is so brilliant, clever, because it's like Matt's trying to get him to stand down. Matt's saying
he's pleading with him.
It's like, we can still go and travel. We could get away. We could start over. So Matt's very.
Let's just fucking go to Tibet, man.
Yeah.
Matt's like what you
very
do with
much
like
Superman right there.
Right.
He does it. The only way that he could stop him is to kill him.
Right.
But he doesn't want to kill him. He thinks that there's still good in him.
Right.
Even at the end, after
he's
after
still
Andrew's
his friend.
Dead.
He's
yeah.
trying to kind of talk him off the ledge almost.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, you there. You know, we could still make it. We can still go and be free. We could still live our lives.
Right.
You don't need to do that.
It's the same thing. Like if you're at a party and somebody gets too drunk, starts swinging on people, and you're just like, bro, just chill. Out. You know?
Yeah,
that's what that scene was. It's just,
yeah,
it's
like
superpowers.
Yeah.
And your bro is fucking psychotic.
Exactly. But it was so well done, and it was one of those things where like you're watching, you're just like, oh fuck, oh shit, this is fucked up. And then right the moment where Matt finally strikes Andrew down dead is just. Like it almost
really poetic, because it's like, I mean, Andrew, he's the cops are closing in on him, they're shooting bullets, and he's using his powers to stop the bullets, so he's just pissed off, and he's at that point of rage where he's like, fuck this shit, I'm blowing everybody up, I don't give a fuck anymore, I'm destroying buildings, glass fucking everywhere.
Yeah, he's just
fuck you guys,
fucking everything up.
Big pile of shit in Seattle coming down on everyone, and he's like, fucking Matt's just like, I got it. Okay.
I got it. I got to do this.
He's pleading.
And once he realizes that.
Yeah. What's he do? Stabs him in the back, essentially.
He pretty much does.
Very metaphorical.
Yeah. There's a statue there where it's like a bronze statue of a guy holding a spear. And
as soon as you see that, you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Because it just lines up perfectly. And Matt just. And the way that it was done, since it's done with the one camera type of thing, the voyeuristic feel to it, you didn't have these over dramatic like tight close ups of the statue,
his reaction,
shit, it's gonna happen.
It was just very
like it was
pretty realistic, just like
boom,
done. Yeah,
done. You didn't
like, and if you go back and watch it, you're watching Lethal Weapon, and there's an explosion. Well, you get the same explosion, six different angles of it as it's going down. There's just two cuts in this, and in. That's
yeah,
it,
yeah. Know? There's two different cuts from two different angles.
Not overdone or anything.
Yeah, it's two different cameras, and you just see
enough to make you go,
boom.
It's perfect enough to make you go like, damn, he did do that, you know?
Yeah.
It's good. It's really, really good.
Yeah, it's very good. And then right at that point, right after he kills, right after Matt kills Andrew, Matt doesn't stay around very long.
Yeah, he just goes, he's like, fuck it,
and he flies off.
He takes off
because he knows what he did, there is no turning back. He has to flee.
He's elevated himself to that next level as well, too. He's like, shit, I just killed a guy in front of everybody.
Yeah, even though he saved everybody,
right.
In real life, it doesn't matter.
It's almost like, you know, End of Dark Knight. Like, hey, Harvey Dent's dead. Somebody's got to take the fall for this. I mean, there could be any reason. Like, you're a superpower person. The government finds out. Fucking, hey, we're going to analyze your brain. You know?
Exactly.
So it's like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah,
shit.
Every
camera in
the
city was on me. You know?
Yeah, so it's like, I have to go.
I got to end my life. Fuck the girlfriend type thing. Yeah. Bye.
Yeah.
Go to Tibet.
And it's very poetic. I know. And very sad, too.
It is. This is a sad movie, if you think about it. There's definitely scenes in this where...
It's a very tragic... It's very Shakespearean.
There's scenes like watching this in the theater. You know, you go with the girl to see this, and you're like, fuck, I'm kind of tearing up a little bit. I got to suck it up. Like, at the very beginning of the movie, as Andrew's going to be picked on left and fucking right, and he's at the party and some guy throws this drink on him, spits on him, and then it cuts to the very next scene. He's just sitting outside in front of the party, sitting in the grass, and you just hear him sobbing off on the side, and you're like, fuck, man, I feel bad for this kid.
Yeah.
Like, shit. Yeah. And that's when, you know, Steve comes in. He's like, hey, you're that Andrew kid. Hey, come on, hang out.
He's like, hey, you have a video camera. We found something. We need to go.
Can we film? Okay, come on.
Yeah.
be our buddy, you know? And you're like, fuck, man, he's...
Like a lot of my friendships, they started just because I have a video camera.
Yeah, right.
It's like, hey, you're the guy with the camera, right? Hey, why don't you come on over?
Sitting out front of a party sobbing my eyes out. It's a pity plea.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, you got a camera. Let's go. Oh, hey.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. The end of it where when Matt flees, it's very realistic because, I mean... I think that's what stands this out from a regular comic book movie, because if this was like a regular comic book movie, if this was like a Superman origin story and he's facing like Doomsday or something like that,
yeah,
and he, you know, they're having this big huge fight and they're destroying all this shit, mm-hmm. and you know all this stuff is happening, and he, you know, Superman kills Doomsday,
mm-hmm.
you know, the cops aren't going to just sit there and go, you can go.
Yeah, right.
No, they're going to be like,
Superman.
Who the fuck are you? Yeah.
Who's going to pay for all this shit?
It's like, who the fuck are you? You were with this person. You just did all of this shit.
You fucked this up. You owe us $37 million right now.
You're getting some sort of punishment.
Yeah.
You know, because, you did just kill a guy, but the law is a law. You have to be, you know.
There has to be
a process, even if you don't get charged.
It's like going to a foreign country and you break a law, and you're like, well, I don't fucking know. I'm from America. Well, fuck you. You're still getting caned. You know? Fucking shouldn't spit on our sidewalk.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, the fact that he did that and realized right at that second that his life that he knew up to that point
is done. It's done.
And he had to leave. And he, boom, made the decision very off the top of his head, just, I have to go. Boom. And left.
Right.
But he went and started doing all the stuff that he was originally planning on doing with his buddies in almost like a remembrance. Like, let's forget the bad part. Let's forget what happened. Because at the end of the movie, we see he finally gets to Tibet and he sets up a camera,
mm-hmm.
and films like a...
Yeah, it's kind of like his goodbye speech. Yeah, it's his homage, like Andrew...
Andrew's Requiem.
Yeah, he always wanted to go to Tibet, so what's he do? He grabs... It's like spreading the ashes of your friend.
You know? It really is.
Alright, shit. You wanted to go to fucking... wherever, here, let me take your ass and spread them there.
Yeah, you know? And even
it takes and leaves the camera there.
And you know? Even though
it's very sentimental, yeah. it's very like, damn, that's Wow.
Yeah, and it's
like, if I had superhero friends and I was fucking crazy, that's what I would want for me.
Yeah, exactly. and even though, like, Matt ended up killing Andrew, and Andrew did all this fucking crazy ass shit, he didn't remember him for what
he did.
Yeah, and
he ends it was like, I love you, man. You know, here's the camera.
He's like, I never got
you
to say
it.
You
made it to Tibet.
Here, you know, I don't remember you for this. I remember you for, are a good person that just went on a dark path.
It's good. It's really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Another thing that I thought was very symbolic was the whole entire movie, you have all these cameras, and there's all this shit that's happening with the cameras.
Yeah.
But not once did a camera break.
Yeah, until the end. The very end,
at the climax of Andrew destroying everything, you know, glass breaking, all this stuff, you see a camera on the ground and the lens cracks.
Yeah. I did. I remember.
It cracked like right before Andrew gets killed.
Yeah, I remember watching this in the theater and I remember that scene and I didn't think of the, you know, juxtaposition of it of, you know, hey, there, the shit's going down. You're making a big life changing thing. Camera lens cracks. You know, it's a very metaphorical.
But for this whole movie, his life is seen through the lens,
right? And it's
and then
been
at
fine,
that point, his life is over. His life is ruined. It's cracked.
Yeah,
and it
a lot of metaphor.
Yeah, and that crack happened like right before, because the next cut was to
dead,
a different camera. Boom, spear going into his back.
Yep.
And it was just so symbolic that crack happened right before his death, symbolizing that it's over. His life is over.
Yep.
And it's just the little nuances in this. It just makes this movie so fucking brilliant.
Yeah. It's really awesome film.
Probably the best found footage.
I was kind of thinking of that. And I was trying to think of what, has there been a better one?
I mean, I really don't know.
Cloverfield was good.
But Cloverfield definitely had its points because, I mean, there was a lot of parts in there. It was like, why the fuck do we have this? We don't need this. We get it that it's some schmuck filming a party and shit goes down. But I really don't need to see, like, the ground shaking all this time.
Right.
And then they also cut to footage that wasn't
the
found footage feel.
I didn't see Super 8. Was that found footage?
No.
No, okay.
No, but Super 8, that's a fucking good movie.
That's really on my radar. I gotta watch that too.
It goes back to classic Steven Spielberg.
That's what I heard.
It goes back to like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Type of feel.
I've heard it goes back.
Very, very well done. A very good mesh of J.J. Abrams and Steven Spielberg.
The only found footage film I can say is better, and I wouldn't even say it's better. And the only reason I'm saying it's better is because it reached a broader audience. Is Blair Witch, and it made bajillion fucking dollars
but
it cost like $400.
But if you think about it, the only reason why it did that is because of the marketing behind it.
Right, it was kind of the first.
I mean, it's the first of its genre, pretty much.
Realistically, Blair Witch, like, it's kind of a shitty movie.
It really is. It's really
not that good. This is way better.
I mean, it was scary for the fact of. There was a good period of time that everyone thought it was.
If they did the marketing of Blair Witch for this movie, I think it would have reached even more audiences, probably.
But this wouldn't have been as believable as Blair Witch.
Oh, no, not at all.
I mean, Blair Witch was just...
The Blair Witch thing was that whole, like...
There's someone out in the fucking woods.
Yeah, somebody out in the woods is fucking people up. What is it? I don't know.
You know, is it really a witch?
Or is there a serial killer? What is it? And here it's like, well, yeah, here this kid's flying. You're like, that's not fucking real. Yeah. You know,
same thing with like Cloverfield.
But with that being said, although, you know, the way this movie was filmed and shot, like, there is absolutely a suspension of disbelief where you're like, fuck, this is really, I'm there. I'm right there watching this shit. This is like watching a play almost.
Even though you see them playing football up in the middle of the clouds.
Half of you was like, hey, I'm flying around too.
It is windy
in here.
You're like, fuck, this is really well done. And then, like, and you're sitting there thinking, because I was sitting there
it's a ride at Universal.
Especially the end.
Absolutely.
But when they were playing football up in the air, there's a split second where I'm like, what would happen if like a plane
flew through? Yeah, then fucking a plane
and
comes through.
A plane flies through and fucks up everything. And, you know, Andrew saves the day and, you know, saves the camera and everything. And it's just one of those like, holy shit.
Yeah,
like they just realized, like, oh shit,
this is definitely done.
Like, we're definitely out of our element here, right. But
what the fuck are we doing? We gotta tone this down a little bit.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Now, I remember hearing rumors that they're wanting to do a sequel to you said that it was that they greenlit it.
I believe they greenlit it. I don't know if it's technically greenlit. I know that they wrote a sequel, and I'm pretty sure it's Max Landis that did the sequel for it as well too. But okay. From what I hear, from my connections in Hollywood, Wikipedia, that Sony did not like the script. So they're like, oh, well, we really want a sequel, but this script sucks. Which kind of, I think...
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with this not having a sequel.
Yeah, everything has to have a sequel.
I would absolutely be okay with seeing a sequel. And I kind of feel that this is a movie that if you're going to do a sequel to this, like, maybe you shouldn't do the same found footage type thing. It needs to be also groundbreaking in its own respect as well. And I kind of have a feeling that, like, Max Landis wrote it out, and it actually is a really good script, and they handed it to the studio, and the studio's just like, wait, there's nothing like the first one. What are you doing?
Yeah.
We want a sequel to the first one. It's like, well, this is like another story with these characters, you know?
Well, it's just like the Blair Witch, when they did the sequel to Blair Witch,
right.
And it wasn't the found footage style,
and then they're probably they're probably thinking the same thing. It's like, oh, no, the key to this is... blah, 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 and I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because what made this a really good casserole of cinema was
the casserole of cinema. Was the tuna we put in it.
was the cinematography from it.
The cinematographer probably had a blast on this, like coming up with all these angles and different things to do. This had to have been an awesomely fun movie to make.
Because it definitely made you feel like you were in it. If this was shot like any other movie, I don't think... I mean, it would still be good, but I don't think it would have been... as good. To me, it would have just been just another movie.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, if they don't make a sequel to it, I'm okay with that. Yeah. I think they're going to move on. I guess the Josh Trank or Max Landis, or maybe both of them, I don't know, they're going on to do the Fantastic Four movie now.
Josh Trank is writing and directing the Fantastic Four movie, mm-hmm. which I'm... beforehand, I was just like, okay, they're redoing Fantastic Four.
I'm more amped up to see it. Right. Like this, like very. I'm excited to see what he does with it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't really compare. I don't think you can compare this to Fantastic Four. Like that's got to be more lighthearted type thing. I would think. I don't know, but
well, now the way that they're doing every
realistic.
Everything's following the Dark Knight. Everyone wants to be gritty and what Christopher Nolan did. And
sure.
Yeah. I mean, but that's this generation's superhero movies. Yeah. I mean, if you go back, I mean, just like back in the 90s when Batman, or 1989 when Batman mm-hmm. first came out, Tim Burton's Batman.
Right.
That was considered dark and gritty compared to the 60s Batman. Yeah. And now you look at Christopher Nolan, you're like, that's lighthearted.
There's a fucking penguins in this. Yeah. Like, with rocket launchers. You're like, this is dumb.
Yeah. It's like, that's lighthearted. This is not. So, you know, every generation, they want to find, like, the newest way of doing it.
Yeah.
And there's some characters where it works. You know, Batman is a fucking, that's a dark ass character. That's a very tragic character. Characters like Superman's character is kind of the same way, but you know, it's not as dark. And Spider-Man's not as dark. Fantastic Four is definitely not as dark.
No. So yeah, it's like fucking Reed Richards. Like, what the fuck's he gonna do?
Yeah,
he beats his wife.
Johnny Storm across the other room
Johnny Storm was actually set on fire. Yeah. And that's how he got his power. You're like, what the fuck? Shit, the Thing just has a horrible skin condition or something. You know, it's like, how the fuck are we supposed to do this shit? Yeah. Every time Reed Richards stretches his neck out, like a baby dies in Tibet or something. I don't know. Yes. You can't use your powers. I don't know. Something weird. Yeah. I don't know. I thought that this is an awesome movie. I think.
It really is.
Sequel, I could absolutely see where they would do a sequel because there's a lot that they did not. I mean, there's a whole big element of okay, these kids got this power from this big fucking rock that was in the middle of the earth. How the fuck, what is that rock? Does that come from space?
And they did go back there, and it, back was, there and it was sealed up.
So did the government get a hold of it? Are there other people out there that are like him now?
And right when he, right when they went back there,
right,
the you had police officers and government officials that were there saying, right, like, you can't be here. They're taping it off, and there's some shit going on.
Right, like, is the net, is Chronicle 2 going to be maybe a chronicling of the government trying to get him or trying something to find like that? Matt,
because he's sure, the link
now to... he's the new guy, he's the new prime being, he's the new apex predator now. You know, and he's trying to do good, but they don't see it as that or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but that's just, that's the tragic story of every superhero.
It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, it's, yeah, it's, I mean, the vigilante type of thing where people are like, well, yeah, you're doing good, but you're really not supposed to be doing this.
If a sequel came out, I'd absolutely go see it. If it doesn't come out, I'm okay with that too.
Yeah,
I
think
this absolutely stands on its own.
I'm okay with not seeing a sequel for this movie. I'm a little hesitant for seeing a sequel because I don't think that they would be able to get away with it if they did it as a regular format with your regular cinematography.
Like, how do you take this up to the next level?
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, for it, this would definitely have to be.
How are you going to explain another camera floating around? You
exactly.
Know?
I don't know. This would definitely maybe have to be Matt's story.
Right.
This
absolutely.
One would be Matt's story, and maybe like the government trying to find him because
sure.
Maybe they're trying to do their own experiments to get.
They're trying to
super soldiers, right. And he's the
only
one.
Someone needs to answer for that shit in Seattle. We need to track him down. We need to document it up this entire thing. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they capture him. I don't know.
But at that point, it does become a completely different story from what
it
Chronicle
is. It really is. It is.
It's a totally. It could go many, many different ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, that is the interesting aspect of if they do a sequel.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that this is good enough to be a standalone film.
I think so too.
It doesn't need anything.
I'm okay with this
it.
Not being it being done again.
Yeah.
If there is a sequel, great. If not, hey, I'm fine. I mean, I got this. This, it's like I had a great sandwich. I don't want to eat another one. You know?
Yeah.
I go to Subway, get a steak and cheese every fucking time. I don't want to get away from it.
Yeah. Well, it's just going with your sandwich analogy. It's like if you go and you get a sandwich and it's brilliant, you love it. It's a great sandwich. And then you go back and you're like, hey, I want the same sandwich. You're like, all right. But instead, we're going to use this type of meat.
We're going to put it with wheat bread now.
Yeah, like, it's like, we're going to add this to it. You're like, okay, but it's not the same.
Yeah, like steak and cheese on whole wheat. Fucking A.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's like, it's not the same thing, but
I mean, it's
it might be good,
but
it's not. I just want what I want.
Different.
I just want what I got. That's
right.
It.
Just keep giving me the same stuff.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure we've made it clear how we feel about this. watch it.
Oh, absolutely. I you know, I'll tell everybody to watch this. Like,
what about
absolutely.
Buy it?
I mean, you know, hey, if I.
As a filmmaker, I think that this would have some really interesting...
I would think so. I think, you know, for me, everybody knows me buying stuff is like, I rarely will buy movies anymore. Like, I'll watch them and then move on with my life, you know. It's like I do with women.
Yeah, I was just about to say, that's why you're single.
Watch them get naked, move on, you know.
me, on the other hand.
Right, yeah, Mr. Man that's locked down. I would you know, buying it, I would not be bad. You know, if I bought movies, I think I would buy this.
Yeah, this is a movie I would definitely watch again.
I think
again.
It's absolutely great. It's really worth it. I'd pay, you know, $15 for this DVD.
Yeah.
Absolutely worth it. I think, I don't know. I really give this super high rating, I think. I think it's a really good film. It's really underrated. Nobody's really heard about it. And if you heard about it, it's like, oh, it's that movie that I saw the trailer for. Yeah. It didn't really look that good.
The trailer,
you watch it,
didn't do justice.
It did not. I don't think so.
The trailer actually kind of, it didn't turn me off from it, but it was just one of those.
It gave you the impression that it was, oh, that's not really.
It's like, okay, well, I'll catch it eventually. That's how I felt.
Yeah. I think everybody had that. And it's really one of those, like, you go and you see it and you're like, fuck, this is actually really good. The story's here, the way they did everything, everything's rock solid. This is a really good film.
Yeah.
It's in the top 500 of IMDb, apparently. I don't know where it's at. But it's like $4.99 maybe. I don't know. But it's in the top 500.
Hey, give it a little bit more credit. $4.98, please.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I would definitely say watch it. And if you like if you like to listen to director's commentary or anything like that, because I'm pretty sure something like this.
I'm sure there's probably
would have to have something.
And I you know,
if it doesn't, that's a big fault on their part.
Right. Watched it once, really liked it. Watched it again, liked it maybe even more than seeing it the first time. You know, it's one that you get time to kind of study all the.
We also went and watched the first time with a girl and watched it this time.
Yeah, me. Right. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And viewing movies with me is 10 times better than viewing it with a chick. I don't know why.
Yeah, okay. Whatever.
It makes me feel good. Just go with
right,
it.
Right, right. I passed up a chick to go watch it with you.
You're making me feel better. Yeah. I have very low self-esteem.
Remember how I said, you know, you see one naked and then you move on? That's get naked, Ben. No.
I don't want you to leave.
Yeah. Well, just string me along.
And I'll take off a sock. Is that good? Will I keep you all right?
Yeah, I'm like a little kitten. You know, it's like, hey, something to play with. Yay.
Well, yeah. So, definitely watch this movie.
Definitely
it's
watch
worth it.
It. Definitely
it's
watch
totally
it. Absolutely.
It.
You know, give it a watch. I can't, you know, you should like it.
Should like it. If you don't, you're
if you're listening to the podcast, you're
from
more like on. No. Yeah, if you hate it, fuck you.
Fuck you, everything that you've ever stood for, and fuck your mother.
You're probably not from this country. Then you probably hate it. I don't know why we're British there.
Strange little fact. It's set in Seattle, but the majority of it was shot in South Africa.
Interesting,
and
right?
Vancouver.
I would not have guessed that.
So it's mainly shot in South Africa and Canada.
Right.
So.
Like. Really interesting. I'm like, South Africa? Like, I wouldn't have guessed that. I thought it was made in, like,
Cape
Michigan,
Town. Yeah.
You know, something.
No, because it was cheaper to film in Cape
Town. I would have absolutely thought they filmed this in Seattle.
Yeah.
But, nope. That wasn't the Space Needle. No. I don't know. It was the Toronto CN Tower or something.
The House of Fraser and Nirvana said, no, do
yeah,
not
right,
fuck
right,
us
right.
up.
Right. Well, it did rain a lot there.
Yeah.
I don't know. So.
Next week, we've actually been having a lot of suggestions for movies.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been wanting us to watch current films.
Right.
Some more current films or stuff that they've heard of.
And hey, we listen to you, listener.
The listener. we were given a couple of suggestions, Skyfall being one of them. We threw
right.
in Argo because we just wanted to watch that because of the Oscars.
Yeah.
We have Dread, Seven Psychopaths. So there's a
so out of that we're gonna watch the one that is the least long,
which I think was Dread. It was Dread. Yeah,
yeah.
It was like 96 minutes or something like that.
Hey, works out fine.
So we're gonna watch the extended cut of The Hobbit.
Shit. Hey, that was a good movie. I'd watch it.
I didn't get to see it when it was in theaters.
Yeah,
I'm really kicking myself. I saw every other Lord
really
of the Rings in theaters, and I didn't
really good because you can't match that 48 frames per second, man.
Well, I think they're it's going to be coming out on Blu-ray with 48 frames, hopefully.
Well, how you got a 48 frame television you're going to watch it on? So
fuck
you.
Yeah.
it's not going to do anything.
The
math just doesn't
in
add
theory,
up.
It sounds great. Yeah. They're like, oh yeah, it's going to be in 48 frames. Well,
yeah. Oh, 48 frames. Well, I got 128 frame television, so maybe if I divide it by 2.5, it'll sort of kind
knock
of
it down to
knock it down to where it needs to be at. Oops.
Well, your fucking TV, everything looks goddamn smooth anyways.
Hey, that's right.
It's smoother than a baby's ass.
980 frames per second on my television.
So you could see that football.
Right.
You could count how many times the laces go
motion.
Around.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's great. All right, so next week we will watch. We're not going to say what it is because we're still going to.
We're still going to tally up the votes.
Yeah, we're going to tally up which one. Actually, we're going to just say which one we want to watch.
Probably going to be Dread.
probably will be Dread. Yeah, just because we keep changing our mind every single week from what we want to watch and all that.
Right.
So just tune in next week when we watch another movie.
Yeah.
More current film.
Sure.
Fuck this old shit.
Fuck this old shit that nobody watches.
Yeah. No. We'll go back to some old shit.
Yeah. We'll watch some of that every
day. Yeah. But we're moving on up to the east side.
We're watching good movies.
Yeah. Good movies.
Then dump on them.
We're a respectable podcast, damn it.
It's like, we started out doing juvenile shit, now we're growing up.
Yeah, we're growing up. Yeah, why not?
We finally hit puberty. That's why our voices are deeper
And her balls are hanging lower.
Well,
on that note, if you have any movie suggestions for us or just want to shoot us a little email, you can go to our website. It's going to be there on the side, or you just type it in, youthroughpoo@me.com.
And we will read it.
And we will read it. And we promise we will not spit on it.
Nope.
Because I do not like spitting on my computer or tablet device. Because it doesn't do well with water.
Sounds good. That voids the Apple Care agreement.
Exactly. make sure to check out our website, themoviedump.wordpress.com. Also, we're on iTunes, so you can subscribe over there and listen to us there. And there's a Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr, all that. You can get to everything from our website. So just fucking go to our website.
Just go to it.
Just go to the website.
Well, we should probably say what the website is.
I just said it. www.themoviedump.wordpress.com.
No, there's no www in front of that.
Yeah, well,
it's just themoviedump.wordpress.com.
Well, you could put www.
God, we gotta get our masking back up.
There we go. We're just
we'll work on that.
We're just too late. I got Smallville to finish.
Bro. Listen to us on iTunes. There we go.
I got Smallville.
Yeah. Okay.
And then after that, I got to do Sons of Anarchy. And
you watched Sons of Anarchy?
Not this last season. I watched up to like the third episode.
Yeah.
And I was told recently that it was like you have to. There'll be a point where you stand up and start fucking yelling at the TV.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have to get that, but I have to finish my. My small bill before I move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
Right after I'm done with this. I have season 9 waiting for me. Christ. Hey, I got 2 seasons left. I'll be done by the end of the week.
All right.
Then we'll be back to normal.
Get you out of superhero phase, I guess. You know? Move on and get back drinking beer and farting. I don't know.
All right, well...
We'll be done just in time for the next Superman film.
Yeah, exactly. So until next week, I'm Ben.
I am Kronick. Oh.
Ooh. Way back.
That was a good
one. Clever. Yeah. Very clever. And this has been the Movie Dump Podcast. Enjoy your week.
Booyah!